Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Grayscale Gorilla Podcast. It's been a little while since the last one, but thanks for still subscribing and coming here and watching, hanging out. I guess I should say listening. You're probably listening to this if you're not watching this live, which we record this on some random Wednesdays at about 2 o'clock Central Chicago time. But anyway, thanks for stopping by. I wanted to talk to you guys today about the idea about going to school and whether or not you should go to school. And I get this question all the time, you know, where should I go to school? Should I go to school at all? Should I go overseas? Should I go to a pure design school? Should I go to an animation school? Can I just learn all this stuff online? And of course, there's no easy answer to all this stuff. And it's really easy for some people to say yes, no, for all cases. But like most things, there's no right answer for everybody. So let's start to break down some of the ways we could think about this. Now, I was having a conversation last night about this with a friend of mine, and we both kind of went back and forth on a few different points, and I thought it was kind of interesting. So I guess that's what we'll start to talk about today for the podcast. So instead of me telling you what's going to happen, let's just start talking about it. So you have a ton of options for school, and this wasn't always the case. There used to be, for most jobs, the choice to go to school or not. And if you didn't, maybe you found a mentor, maybe you learned from your family the things you wanted to do, or a friend, but you didn't have this huge, huge, huge variety of options that you have now, which includes kind of internet learning, right? So you have this ability now, and I talk about this all the time, to type in whatever you're into online and find a bunch of blogs, a bunch of YouTube videos, a bunch of podcasts, a bunch of products and little training series that you can buy at a low cost, you know, maybe $100, couple $100. Very low cost or free solutions of learning all the stuff that you want to learn, whatever it is. And, you know, we talk a lot about motion design and a lot about photography and After Effects and that kind of stuff here. But we're talking about anything other than if you want to be a lawyer or a doctor, or maybe a couple other things like rocket scientist. In almost all the other cases, what you have the ability to do is go learn this stuff through all those things I just talked about, right? You can go try it out, things like photography and especially creative aspects of careers, writing, all of these things you could just sit and try and learn from experts online. Most of the time, like I said, for free or super low cost, way cheaper than school, right? So school cost is going up. It's expensive. I'm paying off my loan. There's a lot of people still paying off their loans. And like I said, man, there's so many little subtleties here. And I'm going to try to get to all of them. But you might, there's a big chance you'll end up with a lot of debt if you go to school. And the big question is that worth it? And I think it's really easy to look back at school from a lot of people's perspective when they go to an expensive school and they come out and they may not get that perfect dream job they've always wanted, or they may not think they got enough schooling as they thought they would. They may look back at a few teachers that just didn't teach them anything or that weren't very good and think that this was money not well spent. And there seems to be a big push from these kind of alumni to say, you know, relatively bad things about their school. And that's an easy thing to do. I think that is I think that's a very global thing to do for a lot of people, is to look back at school and say, yeah, you know, maybe it wasn't worth it. It's an expensive thing. I've always argued that it's not necessarily the things you're learning in school that that you're paying for. The things you're learning may be that this isn't the kind of people I want to hang out with all day. And that may be a lesson that's really hard to learn if you are not exposed to a bunch of creative people in your own hometown, you may need to go to a city and go to a school and surround yourself with people that do the thing that you think you want to do to realize this is not my crowd, right? So you may learn in a very expensive lesson that this is not the thing you want to do, but you may not stumble upon that unless you go to school. What if you learned all this stuff in your basement, learned all this stuff in your house, and then realized after you got out and spent 2 years that now you've wasted more than just money. You've wasted time not realizing that this thing that you may be into isn't the thing you want to do. And school is an expensive place to go find that out, but it's sometimes a much faster place to go find that out. Of course, there's other ways to do that. You can go join a group, a local group, or you know, go to the city every once in a while and go to the local meetup of whatever you're trying to do. School may be a great option for you to go do that. It also is a great option to, in a good sense, know that there are other people that are into something that you're into, especially if you're from a smaller town or a smaller country or you know, away from a place where there are other nerds that want to do your nerdy specific thing. You can now go to a school and surround yourself with people that at least put money down that said, I am into this and I want to learn more about it. Now, a lot of those people may not be into it. A lot of these students that you're surrounded with may be at school because they had to go to school and they figured that art school or film school or design school or writing school or whatever school is where they might want to be or where their parents want them to be, or you know, they thought it might be easier than getting a different degree. So now you're surrounded by, you know, people at different passion levels for this thing, right? So what you really need to be careful of is who you're connecting with at the school. Find the group of people that are having weekend projects. Find the group of people that are staying after hours on working on stuff. Find that group of people and make sure you're part of that group. Now, it doesn't mean what you need to be very careful of is if you're not a part of that group, you need to really think about why. Is it because you're not really into what you're doing? Is it because this isn't the path you wanted to go down? You're not learning. This isn't an interest. All of a sudden you figured out that this isn't an interesting subject and you don't want to spend extra hours after school learning more about it. That is a big red flag, and that's where you can become very, very passive in your learning and maybe even get an A, a B, C in a class and get your degree and almost learn nothing in a school like that, where you're not really into it. The teachers kind of write you off because you're not into it. It's no fun teaching people that aren't into it. They don't want to teach you again, so they give you a barely passing grade and you move on. Nobody wins in that situation. You end up at the end of school and you end up with a degree that says you could do what you want to do, but you have no clue. And that's because it's been a passive kind of situation through the whole thing. Now, I'm already too deep into this school thing. But what I'm trying to get at is it's always easy to look back at school for a lot of people and say, wasn't worth it. But there are reasons to be there. And I've wrote a few articles about it. I think I had even an earlier podcast. Got to think about what episode it is specifically about this topic. So you could check that out. But let's talk now about why you wouldn't. Why you wouldn't go to school. So there's obviously budget. There's obviously a lot of money that goes into a learning process. One idea, I'm skipping all over the place. I wish I could focus. One idea I would love to kind of bring out is to think about waiting between high school and college. And I know that I get a lot of different listeners from, you know, different kind of stages in their career, just starting to learn all the way up to hopefully a couple professionals just listening to me while they work. I have no idea, but I know that it's a wide range of ages. And if you're looking to get into this stuff and you are in high school and you're not necessarily sure if this is the thing you want to do, what I what I would hopefully try to encourage you to do is not go to school, not go directly to school from high school. If you, especially if you don't know what you want to do, it's a very, very, very expensive place to go party and meet girls and drink beer. And it's a very social place to go do all those three things, but it's super, super expensive. One of the things I'm really glad about doing is kind of screwing around after high school for a few years. I moved to Las Vegas with some friends. I DJ'd. I worked at a record store. I was kind of a bum, right? Went to bars but I learned so much, right? I learned about what I liked doing, the type of people I liked. I learned a whole lot. I think everybody learns a whole lot between when they're 17, 18 and when they're 21, too. So one of the things I'm really glad I did was not go to an expensive school directly after college. I went to a community college, took some really great community courses, learned a little bit about design, learned a little bit about people and being away from crappy high school and being at a design shop or in a design school or a film school or whatever. That might not be the exact right place for you. I guess that's all I'm suggesting is that might not be the exact right place to go. And I think that it's a high level of people that come out of that situation where they go directly to this expensive school. 3 years later, they barely even know who they are. They barely even know what they want to do. And now they're sitting here with a certificate and a bunch of classes that they kind of blew off and they kind of got into when they got into it. And that's where a lot of this I hate school, I hate higher education stuff, I think comes from, are from students that are not prepared. Like I said, I'm glad I waited. I figured out what I wanted to do and I went to school and I commit full time to it and got done. And I have teachers I like, things I liked, things I didn't like about the school. But overall, I was more ready, more prepared, and more sure about what I wanted than 90% of the students there. And this is where it gets dangerous. So a few things to get out of that. Look around it, wherever you're learning and make sure you're part of that 10% that are working their ass off. It doesn't mean you have to be as good as them. Let's say there is a group of 10 people in the corner that stay late, get there early, work all weekend, make up film projects, do whatever. Even if you're not as skilled as they are, be a part of it. Ask them how you can help. Ask them if they need light set up. Ask them if they need help putting, anything, any part of their process that they need help with. Go be an intern at school. Make sure you're around them. And the thing to take out of this is it's never up to the school. A lot of people put a lot of pressure on schools to make sure that you know exactly everything you need to know to get a job. And I think while that could be much better than it is now, I think that thinking of it that way removes the power from you and gives it to somebody else. And you never want to do that. You never want to give a school, no matter how much money you give them, you never want to give a person, no matter how much money you get from them, you never want to give somebody else the power to tell you exactly what you need. You need to know what you need and you need to take out of it what you want. And if you really can't get out of it what you want, then you need to leave that school. You need to leave that situation. And this is where, I talked a lot about this last night with my buddy. We kind of came to maybe a little bit of a crossroads or a little bit of a difference of opinion. And really, I think we were saying the same thing, but it basically came down to he thought that schools needed to be more accountable. And while I agree that that's true, that schools need to be more accountable with their students, if you go to a portfolio show and see some of the crap that comes out of this school, it's really a shame. It's really a shame for the students that think they got a good education. And it's really a shame that the school is allowed to do that and continues to do that. But the real shame needs to be on the person themselves. To say that it's the school's fault, I think, of course, it's the school's fault. But rather than try to change a large money-making organization that's all caught up in rules and all caught up in government, it's just a lot easier to change yourself and know where you need to be and be where you need to be. One thing I want to, another thing we talked about, but something that, came up and is very clear as part of the problem is a lot of higher education requires a master's degree to teach. And that doesn't always make it easy for industry professionals to teach. And usually it's the industry professionals, the people that have been doing this for 10 years and know how the industry works, know all the new terms that are currently working in the industry, for them to go teach. And a lot of these people do. A lot, the people that I learned a lot from, they love to teach and they can't. And they can't because they didn't go get their master's. There's a real kind of chicken and egg scenario going on with the ability for schools to pull the right talent in. And so you need to be aware of that. And there are other places to learn that don't require a master's degree to teach there, but the problem is it's not a real degree, right? It's like a certificate if you go to a class like that. So if you look at something like FX PhD, which is great, which is I've learned a ton from FX PhD. They have a ton of classes. You can go learn exactly what you want to learn from industry professionals, really talented industry professionals. These aren't like washed up guys that don't want to work anymore and decide to teach. These are dudes that are doing it all day and making great work and then on the side deciding to record classes for FX PhD, and now you can watch them. This is a great place to learn. But at the end, you have all the skills and all the knowledge that you learned from that, but you don't have that degree. And for most people in the creative industry, I would say that that degree doesn't mean a whole lot. But you know what? That degree does mean a whole lot to a lot of families. My parents wanted me to have a quote real degree. And sometimes it's really hard to move away from that. And to convince people that you don't need a degree. Or sometimes it's hard to even know that, especially when you're 17, 18, you're coming out of high school, and what do? The next thing you do is you go to college. You don't know that there's some FX PhD thing out there. You don't maybe know that you can go to, Animation Mentor, what else do we talk about? Nomon Schooling. And go take all these classes from real professionals and learn maybe probably more than you would at a quote real school, but those options are there and those are part of it. So you need to figure out if you need a real degree. You need to figure out if that's part of where you need to be. Again, there's no end of this where there's a right answer, but I just want to. Even for myself, talk through some of this stuff because it does get nuanced, you know. So some schools just want money, right? You have to be aware that there are public school, more government style school, like a state school or a state college that isn't necessarily out there to make a profit purely. They're there also to educate and to be a part of the system. And those are okay. There's also the paid for schools, like pure profit school, for profit, something like where I went to AI. There's also, like a DeVry kind of thing or any of those trade school kind of places. Those are all for profit schooling, Flashpoint. So there are those situations. And then there's these online schools that kind of barely even give you a certificate, but give you a lot of knowledge. And you need to figure out where you fit and maybe even try a few. And the best part is that these online ones are relatively to the to a quote real school, very inexpensive. Please do that. Please give them a try. So where does all this get you? How do you look at all this stuff and make a decision on what to do? Well, what I would say is, first of all, figure out what you want to do. And don't figure out what you want to do by spending a lot of money to be in these groups. Go figure out by going to a user meeting. Go hang out in a forum. Go to the trade show. When you're young, go spend the few hundred bucks to go to some trade show. Buy a plane ticket. That'll be the least expensive way for you to go figure out, is this really the thing I want to go do? Are these the people I want to hang out with all day? Are these is this the thing I want to create with my life and time? You would learn a lot by being around that group, especially if you're younger. Hang out with them and figure it out. So if you are sure that's the thing you want, then you have another set of choices you need to make. Do you get a real degree, quote real degree, like a bachelor's or a master's or associate's degree, or can you learn all this from a mentor? Can you learn all this from an online shop? Can you learn all this from going to enough blogs and watching enough stuff and going to enough shows and going to enough speeches and hanging out with the right group? I think that comes down to your personality. I think if you are ready to go, if you are very self-motivated, if you automatically are staying after in all the classes, if you are part of that 10%, I think you can learn all this stuff on your own. I think you can go sign up for all these online classes for a tenth of what a real quarter in a school would cost you, and learn from real professionals doing this stuff. And we're talking, like I said, this isn't just about 3D. This is about any creative space. You can find a mentor. Are you an outgoing person that knows and goes to these meetups and has found some sort of mentor to maybe help you or to answer questions? That person is worth way more than some credit at school. If you can hang around with them, and learn from them, do that. And overall, the thing to keep in mind through all of this is you always have to compare yourself with everybody around to know where you stand. Is any of this working? Am I better than I was a month ago? Is my work 2 months ago awful? Am I sick of the work I made 3 months ago? You should be, especially early on. And if you're not, if you're learning that slowly, that you're not quite sick of the work you made 6 months ago, it's just another red flag that you may be in the wrong place. So, so there's that decision, right? So you can go to the real school or go to the online stuff. And again, I think that's all part of your personal your personality type has a lot to do with that. The biggest red flag in all of this is to expect that any one of these decisions that you make will lead you down the absolute path to where you want to be. So the bad thing to think is to say, I chose this school because they're good, they have good people coming out of it, they have good work, and all of a sudden now all I have to do is show up to class, get my A, or show up to the online course, go through it all, ask a question, and follow the tutorial, and I'll be all set for work. And it's that attitude that does not work. It's that attitude that may stifle you when you have an opportunity to learn more and you don't. It's that attitude that looks at your report card and you get an A, or you got a good job on that project you just did, and you said, I'm on my way and I'm doing it. And And when you end up at the portfolio show at the end of your 3 or 4 years, and you're surrounded by people better than you, it's not easy to do that. And I guess what I'm saying is be self-aware of where you fall in all of this. You're always competing with all these people, especially for a first job. So just be aware, be self-aware of what type of personality you are, be self-aware of where you fit in all of this stuff. And be aware that wherever you put your money to learn this, whether it's a more inexpensive place online, whether it's free, and remember, time is money too. If you're spending all this time online learning all this stuff for free, it's still a lot of time that you could be doing something else. So just be aware of where you're spending your money and your time, and make sure that it's worth it for you. And if you continue to, at the end of every few months, say that this is worth it, then continue to be worth it. But be sure you are very self-aware that you're in the right place, that you're learning enough, and that you hate the work you did a year ago, because then you know you're sitting in the right area. Anyway, man, I have no clue how useful something like that is. Half of that is just to listen myself talk, which I always love, but half of it too is to figure out some of the answers to this as I kind of talk through it. I know all you guys aren't specifically in school or whatever, but I think it's a conversation that even people out of school need to have about higher education. We need to be really, really aware of how people are learning this stuff. And we need to, if there is a school that is taking advantage of students, get rid of that school by not recommending it, by not going to it. And if there is a place that is doing really great job preparing people for their job and teaching them the right things, teaching them the right way, that we need to celebrate them and be very, very, very open to it. Man, I don't know where to go from there, but hopefully there's something. So let's check the chat room. I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't know if there's anything new there. What did you guys hear from that? We have a few people here in the chat room, and it's very case dependent. Yeah, I agree with that. It looks like a lot of people in the chat room are saying that they learn in different ways, you know, on their own. Some people kind of like the idea of the classroom to be around all these people. And another thing to keep in mind is this is just my path, right? This is just my way of doing it. And part of my way of doing it was going through school, was learning a lot in school and learning that this group of people I did not want to be around. And this group of people I definitely did want to be around. And I really don't think I would have known that unless I was thrown into that. And I don't think when I was, 18, if you would have been able to tell me, no, man, you don't need to go to school, just do this. Or even the opposite. Maybe you couldn't have been able to tell me that I had to go to school and that I had my mind set on this other thing. So it really comes down to your personal way of looking at all this stuff. So, yeah, Eric, I know you teach too. People taught me more. Oh, I'm trying to read it, but it disappeared. Pop that question back up there, buddy. As always, we got crazy chat room kind of pop around stuff. All right, let's load this box back up here. Yeah, John from OceanWorks says, remember to get a good cross section of learning from all styles. And that's definitely a part of it. There is no right way. You got to try all of them and see what sticks with you. Eric learned more from his fellow students than his teachers. And that is something that's, paying to be around that group of other people is part of the tuition, and you need to be aware of that. Now there are cheaper ways to go be around a bunch of people. Like I said, maybe there's a work group, but those things are hard. Those things aren't somebody's full time job to go to school like that. So that's important. So Invisible Machine is taking classes at FX PhD. He likes them. Brad, Dr. Starkweather here in the chat room says that the group of people that grow up with you and help you even through school, and he's talking about that group of students and people that are into what you're into is a very important part of this whole thing. And now you have a network. Now you know people. I would also say to Brad and all you guys listening that network of people that you grow through school with can also be found in kind of a user group or a local situation here in Chicago. The reason I know Brad and Eric in the chat room here is because I know them through meetups, through Chicago motion graphics meetups. I didn't go to school with these guys. I know them through going to the local meetups and meeting other people that not necessarily just paid money to go to school. The meetups are really important because these are people that actually are doing this on their off time. This isn't a thing that's paid for by a student loan or paid for by their parents or paid for because they have to get a degree. These guys are taking time after school, after work, to come to a user group meetup. And you know you're going to meet passionate people there because they don't have to be there. And that's where I meet these guys. So there's that idea as well. So a lot of recommendations too for Gnomon and FX PhD. I love FX PhD. I haven't tried the other ones, but it's good stuff. And I'll say before we move on here that there, if you do not have a user meetup, if you do not have a group of people in your hometown that you can go sit around and talk about this stuff, you should start one. I think it's not hard. If you're a little older, you could say there's beers. We're going to go drink some beers and talk about this thing we're into. And with Twitter and a Facebook page, you get a few friends involved. It starts off with three people. It starts off, and then the next month it's five, and the next month it's 10. Even in a small town, I think you'll be surprised on people that are into it. So give that a shot, especially if you're in a medium-sized city. All the big cities seem to be taken care of. If you're in a middle-sized city, it's no-brainer. If you're in the middle of nowhere, it gets a little tougher. But if you're anywhere near some sort of kind of middle city, give it a shot. Make your own. All right. So that is the first one. And I'll just wrap up this episode. I just wanted to talk to you guys about pinball, more pinball stuff. You guys might know if you've been following along. I've just been really obsessed with pinball lately for the last month or two. And the reasons I get into stuff are usually because there's a lot of layers. Now, I like playing pinball. I like a lot of things about it. But what always drives me with some of these little obsessions of mine is the idea that these are man-made. These are physical objects that didn't exist before that humans had to go build. And that's just forever intriguing to me that this is somebody's job. And I talk a lot about doing the job that you really like and being able to make a living doing it. And pinball is this really weird cross-section of people that really obsess over pinball that have been building and designing pinball machines for dozens of years now, 20, 30 years. And they obsess over it so much that they spend their life designing these things. And not just the cabinets, right? So you have all the art on the cabinets. You have the back glass. You have all the physical art, you know, just like the traditional art stuff. But now you also have the game itself you need to design. So where the ramps are placed, how does that feel with this ramp? Where are the flippers placed? Do we have two flippers? Do we have four flippers? Do we have two sets of pop bumpers? Do we have one? Does the plunger a regular plunger? Or is it a button that you hit and it ejects the ball? What are the rules of the game? If you hit this, then this, then this, do you get the extra ball? Or do you have to hit this, and then this? All of these things are not set in stone. They are all things that have to be designed by humans. And that's the never-ending intriguing part for me for something super nerdy like a pinball machine is it's such a useless machine in a way. It's this just fun thing to do that is very fun for me and a lot of other people to play with. But there's a whole culture of different types of designers. So just like there are different designers that have different styles, you could have a really collage kind of style. You could have a really modern style. You could have a more traditional style. These things exist within a pinball machine. So there are old school designers. There are designers that have been making all the old games that came up through them. There's guys that have like a real signature style, like Pat Lawler. He built, if you're familiar with Adam's Family, he built the Adam's Family game, which is the biggest selling pinball machine ever made. And what Pat has, he has this kind of signature thing, which he always has an upper flipper that gets you to a set of ramps that you really can't get to unless you get it up to that upper flipper and then you could flip it. And usually that upper flipper is the jackpot. If you ever get a multi-ball, if you hit that upper flipper into the ramp, you get the jackpot. So things like Adam's Family does this exactly. Things like Funhouse. I think he also did Whirlwind, which is almost exactly the same setup there. And I'm not quite sure, but I played the Tron pinball recently, and that had this kind of side thing. I'm wondering now if he actually made the Tron one. But I guess what I'm obsessed with is this idea that there are people that design all aspects of anything that we see. Whether it's the computer that you're sitting in front of or the microphone I'm talking into, there's a person hopefully that loves this job of designing microphones or whatever it is. In this case, a pinball machine. There are even designers for the back glass or for the DMD, the dot matrix or the display back there. Or maybe it's dot matrix. I forgot what else maybe they call it. But the little orange, it's always like this orange rectangle in the back that now it shows video, it shows your score, it shows where you should be going. Some of them have video modes. And they all have designers. So there's a video designer that has to design in three colors, not even three colors, three or four shades of gray, of orange, basically. They have to do this animation and video and show the score and pick all the right stuff. And they have their own way of designing, and people have their own ways of approaching it. And to me, I don't know where I'm going with this necessarily, other than to say I'm just so obsessed with it lately. I think there's a lot of interesting ways to look at something outside of your direct industry and to see other people do what they love to do, to see other people have a job that they love and how they do it. And lucky for me, all the pinball machines that are made anymore are, and still, and have always been made in Chicago. So the last place that makes pinball machines that's around right now is Stern. They're 30 minutes from my house. Maybe I'll knock on their door and see if I could bug some of their designers and figure out what makes them tick. Well, how do they set up a game? When they look at an empty play field, what do they start with? Do they put two flippers down and a plunger and then start to build? Do they have a whole model in their head? This is just somehow forever interesting to me. And I hope to maybe share a little bit about it with you. I promise not to go too crazy with the pinball stuff. Not everybody's into it, but I think there's a lot to learn for whatever that thing is that you like, whether it's video games or I don't know, pogo sticks or, growing plants. Plants are a little tough. Nobody designed those. Nobody designed the plants, but you get the idea. Go find out who's making all this stuff that you're into and see what you can learn from them. See if you could see a different way of how people work. And I guess that's it. Man, a lot of nothing today. A lot of just, you know, there's never an answer. There's just talking about stuff. I've realized that more and more as I grow old and get new haircuts. There are no answers. It's just a discussion and decisions, really. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening to me ramble on for another episode. I'll try to do more of these if you like them. Subscribe to the podcast and do that, whatever, if you want to. As always, thanks for listening. And I will see you in another episode very soon. Well, I can't promise very soon. That's just something I said because it's just something you say at the end of shows. Anyway, I got to go. Thanks for watching and listening. Bye, guys.